right, come on, put your hand together. Let's have some church in heaven. Come on, put your hand together. I just wanna be right. 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 When you see me singing my song, I just wanna be.
Hello, 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 and welcome to the Lynn Woods Gospel Entertainment Podcast, where we talk to inspire. This week, we're paying homage to the late Keith Wonderboy Johnson and re-airing an episode of the Lynn Woods Gospel Entertainment Show. Gospel quartet, star, father, entrepreneur, Keith Wonderboy Johnson passed away suddenly in his Atlanta home on September the 30th, 2022. A musical tribute celebrating the life and legacy of the 50-year-old was held on October the 14th, followed by his celebration of life service on the next day in his hometown of Brooklyn, New York. Now, I remember Keith for his warm smile, energy, love of the Lord, his gospel music and ministry, which was powerful, and the hits that spread his gospel around the world, like Hide Behind the Mountain, Be Right, and Let Go and Let God Have His Way, and The 12 Days of Christmas. So let's step back in time and take a listen.
Child Jesus,
He's all right with me.
Child Jesus.
Today, my guest is Stellar Award-winning and Grammy-nominated gospel recording artist, songwriter, and producer, Keith Wonderboy Johnson. And he came onto the national, he's laughing at me, y'all. Keith came onto the national gospel music scene in 1998 with the album Through the Storm, and he's been hitting us up ever since with hit music that is blessed, inspired, and uplifted our souls. And Keith has been performing with Keith Johnson and the Spiritual Voices. Well, I'm not going to say how many years, but anyway, they brought us hits like Be Right, Let Go and Let God, Send a Revival, Keep Pushing, I Made It, and Keith has a new single out called Try Jesus, and he just won a stellar award for Believe in Yourself. He's one of the folks that's keeping the gospel quartet genre alive, up front for Jesus, and in our souls. Keith, welcome to the show.
How you doing, Lynn?
Oh, I am doing well. You know, Keith, I have been interviewing you since the 90s. That's going to tell some folks how old we are, but anyway, since the 90s. Oh, wow.
Very humbling beginning.
Yes, sir. Because I think we first did them when I was doing that program. There was Inside Gospel.
Uh-huh.
And then the Urban Network and a bunch of others.
You were so patient with me.
Oh.
It's such a humbling beginning. When I started with doing interviews with you, I didn't even know what syndicated radio was.
Oh, boy, you tell it on yourself. Now, you were, what did they say, green, Keith?
Very green. I was almost like Shrek. I was a coveting green.
Oh, my. You are so funny. Anyway, how are you doing during this pandemic? How's your family? And how have you been holding up?
Yes, I've been holding up pretty, I'm just blessed to still be here. My family, my immediate family is doing well. I've had some losses. Had a very close first cousin who lost her, and a lot of family friends. And my dad was a pillar in the community. He owned a barbershop that a lot of the pastors in New York used to come to.
Mm-hmm.
So he lost a lot of friends, a lot of pastors. But we still holding on and doing what we got to do.
Well, still holding on. Well, I'm so sorry to hear that. We've also had losses on this side with relatives and friends that we've lost to COVID-19 or the coronavirus. So our prayers are also going out to all the other families that have been affected by the new coronavirus, or aka COVID-19. Now, as we continue on with this podcast, how has the pandemic affected, you said we're keeping on, we're doing what we're doing because we both are, but how has it affected what you do?
Well, you have to change. You do, you know, being in the industry, we do know every 3-4 years is a drastic change that might come along. So now basically we just got to get adjusted to what we're calling the new norm. You got to get, you know, for example, for my career, when I first started, it was the welcoming of, like I just mentioned, syndicated radio. So the little bit of experience I had, I was used to going to Georgia. I'm in Georgia, so I'm out with the Hey Georgia area, and they had to pull me to the side. Wait a minute. We're not, it's showing, it's going everywhere. It ain't going just,
like, it's not just one market, it's a whole lot of markets.
Right. So then you had to deal with transitions from cassette to CD, and I'm really dating myself right now.
That's okay.
You had to go from, you know, the welcoming of transitions from VHS to DVD, and then, you know, downloading, and then the social media and everything. So now with this, it's just kind of forcefully pushing us forward, doing Zoom more, a lot more Zoom,
right,
you know, interviews, Zoom performances, virtual concerts. Hey,
yeah,
it's the new norm.
It is, and it's a whole lot going on. Keith, we talked off mic earlier about our fathers and what they do. I know your father's got the barbershop. My father was retired, and then he went back to work. But now he's dealing with prostate cancer in the middle of this pandemic. And child, he's been working and then going through radiation treatments for prostate cancer. And we couldn't get him to stop the work thing. So he's still, like, he'll go get his treatments in the morning. And then later, closer to lunchtime, he might go into his job and he might do 4 or 5 hours and then come home.
Yeah. Listen, with the way these people are now, where things are now, let him stay to his schedule, because it keeps him upbeat.
Okay.
The whole thing with them, once they lose, I've seen it repeatedly, once they get out of their rituals and it breaks their spirit, time coming down.
Oh, okay.
My dad's the same way. My dad, because in New York, but not probably everywhere, they don't make it seem as drastic as they used to. They just call it a simple procedure.
Right.
You know, when they put they give a person a stem or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And they make it seem more, you know, stem. So my dad, I dropped him off, I picked him up, but he was in there for a day in New York. You're only in there a day. Mm. My dad went to his business, his barbershop.
Wow.
After he got out to the hospital. Now, I had to take him out, like, no, you're not going to sit here. But
so he went to his business afterwards.
Yes, he did.
Ooh, okay. I see. We got same kind of daddies. All right.
Yeah.
So you good? So that's right. You grew up in Brooklyn, and wasn't your dad involved in quartet music too?
My dad is the one who started me.
Okay.
People call me the right now. They say a lot of them say I'm one of the hardest workers in gospel, and I get it all from my dad.
Your dad influenced you in gospel and quartet music.
Yeah. My dad is the reason why I'm doing it. I am what you call a quartet baby. I was told I came out the womb singing, Can I Get a Witness?
That's funny, Keith.
I started singing in church. I was 4 years old when we started a little group with my cousins. And by the time I was 4 to 5, I was already a kind of a prodigy, because I was the church drummer.
Okay.
You know, at 4 or 5 years old. Then my dad noticed that I could sing. So my dad had a quartet group that consists of him and my uncles. It was a family group. And he had already had my older cousin. He was like 12 years old. He was singing in the group at that time. So my dad just eventually added me on to the group, and I was like 5 years old then. So kind of, you know how, like, Jack of Five. They slid, ran in there.
Yeah.
That's how my dad slid me in there. So then we did that about a year and a half. Then my cousin got older and he left the group and started his own group. A young guy. It's like his age.
Okay.
And then that left it to me. And then I did my first recording when I was 6 years old. And I'm about to date myself. My first recording was a 45.
That's all right.
Mm-hmm.
It was a 45.
I was 45, and I remember bringing it to school once it came out.
Uh-huh.
We was having show and tell, and I brought my 45 to school. And I'm tell you how much of a, what they call a New York hustler,
uh-huh,
my daddy was named Phil Johnson. My daddy took my kindergarten picture. You know how they give you those, you take them nice pictures holding the puzzle?
Yes.
He blew it up, and then I think when I was around about 5, 6, I opened up for the Mighty Clouds of Joy, and my dad was friends with the lead singer Joe Lagarde and the business manager Johnny Martin, and they said, your son is good. They adopted me as their godson, and they said, but we got to make him different, because at that time it was a trend for a little boy to sing with a quartet group, and they would name him Little and whatever his first name is. So they wanted me to be different.
Okay.
So they came up with the nickname Little Wonder Boy.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So and that's how I got, you know. So then my dad blew up my kindergarten picture and put the Little Wonder Boy on the picture. And that was my first merchandise.
Oh, my goodness. Kindergarten. Oh, my goodness. Wow.
Yeah.
So what was that like? You know, growing up, singing quartet music as a child, and also in New York. And when we think of New York, we don't necessarily think of gospel quartet music. There's a whole bunch of other stuff that's going on, urban and inspirational and all that other stuff. But gospel quartet music in New York, what was that like?
Well, it was a regular for me, because my parents, believe it or not, New York City is one of the main cities for Southern migration.
Okay.
Now, both of my parents are from South Carolina. And during that era, that used to be their graduation gift, a one-way ticket any place they wanted to go. So for a better life, the majority, high percentage of the people, when they graduate from high school, they used to move north, either New York, Baltimore, New Jersey, you know, wherever they had other relatives there. So that's what both of my parents did. They eventually moved to New York.
Part of the northern migration, and we left the farms, and we left the south, and we went to areas where there was the cities, and to find better work. A lot of us went to work in the factories and the plants and stuff there. From the Midwest, they would leave, like Mississippi. Well, in the south, there were Mississippi, Alabama, Arkansas, and Tennessee, and they would come to cities like Kansas City, St. Louis, Chicago, and going up the Mississippi River, so to speak.
Right.
Yeah. Okay.
That was my story. Both of my parents was from the same city, and they both moved to New York. So that's how I had basically the majority of my mother's side of the family and my father's side of the family all in New York. And basically, New York was filled up with a bunch of country people. In my world, that's what I saw.
That's what you thought, okay.
Yeah, so... And so that's how it was, very, very big in New York.
So when did you know, okay, you grew up singing gospel quartet music, and so I guess you all were doing a lot of churches and auditorium kinds of things and those Baptist building kind of things. But when did you make the decision to say, okay, you know what, I think I want to do this as a career? Or were you trained in some other area and went to school and then just decided, I don't want to do that, I think I'm going to do gospel? Or how did it come about?
Well, I had a full, my upbringing was very exciting, and, you know, with my mother and my father being a tight person, they never boxed me in. So I had a few directions, because, like, when I say I started as a prodigy, I was, like, 6 years old. And after I recorded, I was kind of like a local professional artist around New York at age 6. So that was always been a dream of mine since I was a little kid. Because I wasn't the average kid. When I was like 6, 7, besides Reggie Jackson, I played for the Yankees, and Muhammad Ali. Besides those two, all my other heroes were the quartet singers.
Oh, Like who? Like, who? Yeah. Tell me who.
Willie Neil Johnson, Clarence Fountain, Joe Lagan, the Mighty Clouds of Joy, the William Brothers, the Swan, the Dixon Hummingbird. And I got, as a little boy, I got to meet all of these people, not besides at the concert. My dad had a special, his barbershop was special, because he, besides cutting hair, he would play gospel music all day long on a stereo, and he had this big speaker that would sit outside. But he would he was basically buying quartet.
Okay.
And then when he would be, you know, he was a special businessman. He was like a New York hustler. So besides his cutting hair, he would also sell soup in the barbershop.
Really?
He would sell gospel music in the barbershop.
Okay.
And shirt, you know. He sold everything but food.
Yeah, he definitely was a New York hustler, but and then in that barbershop where it was a kind of like a community hub where people met up.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. And then so I got used to that. So if it'll be a big concert, say they would have like the battle of the bands and the groups. If it's on a Saturday night, I can count on it. That's why I would always get up by that noon. One or two of those bands would stop by the barbershop.
Oh, wow,
so
okay.
I got to personally talk to a lot of our legends when I was young. So, you know, that put a real...
The impression on you guys.
Impression on me. So then as I grew up, I kind of, by 12 and 13, following behind my father, I got into bowling. So at like 13 years old, I was only maybe 10 pins off of being a professional. So
really?
That was just...
Well, Keith, you know, I never would have thought of you as the professional bowler.
Yeah. I had about a 180 average when I was 13.
Oh, my goodness. That is something.
So I was thinking about bowling, and then out of nowhere, because it didn't, you know, teenage hit. So then I was like, okay, wait a minute. I got out of bowling because none of the girls used to be at the bowling alley. Not too many.
Okay.
So I got into basketball. And then I played high competitive basketball in New York City. At that time, I wound up going to a Catholic high school. And at that time, the Catholic high schools used to recruit just like colleges. So I got a chance to get a better education because of basketball. And then I was singing and getting recruited by colleges. And my coach, who's a legendary coach in New York, coached a couple of NBA players. We was just playing around one day, and I still was trying to sing at the same time. So I missed practice. I had to go to church.
Okay.
And he was like, no, you can't be missing practices. So then I invited him to a show that we had. I was a teenager then. And him and his wife came to the show. And after he saw me sing, he was like, listen, you're good in basketball. Not sure if you'll make it to the NBA. But if you keep going what you're doing, I know you're a professional at singing.
You know, that's great. And then how did you end up getting that deal with Worldwide Gospel?
Okay. By that time, I went to college, and I stopped singing. And then when I came back home, I was working on Wall Street. And then I said, I would never wanted to be a what-if person. And I saw a vision up in the future. And I said, I wonder what it would be if I would pursue gospel, my dream as a child. I said, well, let me do it now while I'm young. That way, when I'm 40-something, I won't be saying, I wonder what would have happened if I would have tried.
Mm-hmm.
So I went to my dad because at that time, as what we was talking about before, my god brother was the lead singer of an R&B group signed to Michael Jackson's label. And I was traveling with them being the roadie. So I told my dad I wanted to pursue this professionally. So he said, okay, do it. I support you. And then I started going to different functions like the GMWA and
Gospel Music Workshop.
And then one day we ran out of money. We didn't have any money. And then the New York came out. I knew the place I could go. I had $5. And I said, where can I go to get a good meal? And I went to, we was in Cincinnati, Ohio. I crossed over the bridge into Kentucky and went to White Castle.
Wow, okay. You went to White Castle. Okay, Keith.
And that's where I met Carrie Douglas.
The owner of the Worldwide Gospel.
The Worldwide Gospel. That's where we met.
At the White Castle.
At the White Castle. And then we got to talking, and I asked the few people I knew, I asked about Round Bottom, and then we and him started talking, and then he was like, hey, I got a new label, man, and I said, well, I'm an artist. You seem like you need a label. And by that time, though, Lynn, believe it or not, I was pursuing my dream. I had went to every major label by that time and got rejected.
Oh, my goodness.
By every last one.
And then you got signed because you paid attention to a voice that told you to go to the White Castle. Keith, that is a fabulous and awesome story, but it's a great testimony. The simplest thing, go to White Castle, meet Carrie Douglas, and then eventually get signed to his Houston-based label, Worldwide Gospel. Oh,
yeah, because he was trying, you know, he was trying to make it, and he was new, making an imprint. And just like me, he had this funny-looking cover for a CD that he was promoting. Okay, I'm going to be honest.
Okay.
It was ugly. But I was sitting there talking with my god brother. I said, the one thing I do remember, every last convention that we've been to this last year, I've seen that ugly cover and poster everywhere.
Okay. So this brother was working.
We looked up, and then I released Through the Storm in 1998, and we decided to go with the song Hide Behind the Mountain, and the Lord just started blessing from right there.
I remember that Hide Behind the Mountain. Love that song, because I've been listening to you for a long time, too, because I grew up in a traditional gospel market. And so my dad, who earlier off mic interrupted our interview, Milton Woods, he's a quartet music fan. My mother's a quartet music fan. They're from Tennessee, so they migrated up from Tennessee. Up to the Midwest. So, yeah, they love gospel quartet music, and they loved your song. I think one of their favorites from you is Be Right.
Yeah, well, that was the third album.
Okay.
The third project I put out.
Now, let's talk about what you're doing now. We're all the way up to now. Do you have your own indie label now?
Yes, I do. It's called Timeless Music Records, and we started in 2016, and I have released 4 projects on Timeless Music Records.
Okay, so tell me about your current project, and then how you were able to run your own label now, because there's a big difference from having somebody else handle all that versus you handling all that as artist and record label owner. So talk to me about that experience.
I met a young man in my traveling in Tupelo, Mississippi, named Josh Miles, and I just thought he was just talented beyond. So we started working together, then we got some music, and then I said, okay, I'm going to do a project that's going to feature as well as him, myself. And we came together, and we said we're going to do an inspirational project. So what we actually did, we did a tribute to some people. At that time, they had just announced that Lee Williams was going to retire.
Okay.
And unfortunately, he developed dementia, and he was going to retire. So we did a tribute to Lee Williams, and then I said, well, you know what? One of my favorite groups was the Whining. Then we did a tribute to the Whining, and then we recorded a tribute medley to the Williams brothers. And then we came up with this song, Believe in Yourself. And that's the song we chose to make the single.
Okay.
And we released that project in 2019. Yeah.
Okay, so that's what you were saying. That is your latest release.
Yeah.
And didn't you just win something for that? Didn't we just talk about that?
Yeah.
Okay.
We just won a Quartet of the Year at the Stellar Awards, and it's a blessing. We're excited about it because it just was basically showing, just like the words of the song. It says, all you got to do is believe in God and believe in yourself. Look in the mirror and believe in yourself to encourage yourself, let you know that dreams do become a reality.
They become a reality if you hang on in there and have faith, right?
That's right. That's right.
Okay, Brother Keith, so tell us, how can we find your music on digital platforms? Or do we just go out there because it's everywhere?
It's everywhere. You can go to any digital outlet where they sell music, and you put it in Keith on the Boy Johnson, and the rest of them will pop up. We have a bunch of releases. The first one, my then I did some new songs and released some recorded songs when I was 16.
16? Oh, wow. Okay.
That was called Timeless Music.
Okay.
And we was blessed to win. We won our first Stella. I mean, not my first Stella, but that's, we won as Timeless Music Records.
As
we
a label.
Our first Stella with that CD. And then I released an indie compilation project called Indie Praise. And it was a mix CD of myself, some quartet artists, some contemporary artists, some urban artists, all on one CD working together, trying to just spread the good news. Then we did, my next project was Keep Pushing. In 2019, we won two Stellar Awards for that one. And then now we have the Believe in Yourself release.
That's out now.
And then after the pandemic started, I released a single, which we're calling it My Pandemic Suggestion. That you didn't got on your telephone telling people all your business, that put your business on social media.
Uh-huh.
You done tried the rest, now try the best. And the name of the song is called Try Jesus.
All right then. Well, Try Jesus. All right then, Keith. So before we go, talked about off mic about the gospel quartet, that style of gospel mm-hmm. music. It's not always given the most airplay on radio. And right. And there are a lot of folks that love it, but people might not know that they love it.
Mm-hmm.
And so what are you doing to continue this genre of music or to help further the genre of music? And then but you also told me that there are a lot of folks under the radar, don't tell you, but they're influenced by gospel music. A lot of our mainstream artists, as well as gospel artists, that love gospel quartet music.
Yeah. So that's one of my main, I try to bring it to my best ability to mainstream and mix the sounds and everything. Because a lot of people, like I said, started with quartet, because back in the day when I first came onto it, not only were they the Mighty Clouds of Joy, the number one quartet group, but they were the number one gospel artist. You know, they were on Soul Train and Dick Clark Show.
That's true.
They were doing all these big things, and you had a lot of people influenced. But I'm just saying, like the young man re-released his song, he recorded it. Casey Haley from, you know, Jodeci and Casey and JoJo. He was a child prodigy as well when I was little. He's couple years older than me, and he was known as Little Cedric and the Haley Singers. And then you have producers such as Warren Campbell. He created a group of just him and a bunch of other producers and successful musicians. They called themselves the Soul Seekers.
Right,
and
right.
And I remember, people know him as Joe, as a big star, but Joe is from Alabama.
Okay.
The R&B star, Joe. And I remember Joe coming to a concert, and when I met him, he was sitting there with me, and I introduced him to Joe Lagan, and he started crying.
Really?
That's how much Joe Lagan had influenced him. And you have a lot of people who I met, from Faith Evans and Jaheim, the young men that was on the movie Riff. The movie Lean On Me, the bathroom mm-hmm. scene where the boys were singing.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was they were a quartet group in their teenage days.
Oh, wow.
That's why the harmony was so. And like I said, my god brother, Spanky Williams, he come from quartet, but they were signed, they were R&B group signed to, especially during that movement, like Teddy Riley with Blackstreet and mm-hmm. got, most of all of them have quartet background.
Quartet background, and they're rooted in it and grew up listening
right.
to it and love it,
right.
love it. Okay.
Then you even go to today's time,
uh-huh.
you know, you had Anthony Hamilton, and then his background became a group, and they were so quartet based that he said, what am I going to name y'all? I know what I'm going to name y'all the Hamilton.
Yeah,
that's quartet.
Yeah, okay.
Now they're their own entity. They're their own group. And people they would be like, wow. Then I come to find out as I went on, I met like Charlie Wilson. Come to find out Charlie Wilson used to sing with a quartet group in Oklahoma. And even found out that T.D. Jakes used to sing with a quartet group.
So, Bishop, you know, the Bishop.
It's just, you know, some people
get their
quartet ties, you know. Some don't, but,
yeah.
you know.
But it is an art form or style of music within gospel that really is hits at the core of African Americans, especially those that came up from the South and moved north. And then we have, then you got the kids that grew up listening to that, and a whole nother generation of quartet music lovers, even though they don't always tell you, but they are there. So Keith, how can people find you? We know your music is on all digital platforms. You got that single, Believe in Yourself, but how can people find you on social media?
Yeah, look me up on Instagram at Keith Wonderboy Johnson. Facebook is at Keith Wonderboy Johnson. Twitter is at Keith Wonderboy J. And even reach out to me. I'm old school a little bit. You can even email me at Keith Wonderboy Johnson at gmail.com.
All right, then. I thank you so much, Keith, for being my special guest today on the Lynn Woods Gospel Entertainment Podcast.
And thank you so much, audience, for joining us today. Make sure that you subscribe by hitting the subscribe button right now so that you will never, ever, ever miss another episode of this uplifting podcast. If you're looking for me, you can find me on Twitter at LINWOODS, that's at Lynn Woods, or Instagram at LynnWoods96. This has been Lynn Woods with the Lynn Woods Gospel Entertainment Podcast, where we talk to inspire. And our guest, Keith Wonderboy Johnson, is taking us home with Try Jesus today on the Lynn Woods Gospel Entertainment Podcast. God bless.
If you're sick in your body, the Lord will. I'm talking about cancer, high blood pressure, sugar, diabetes. I done tried him. Yeah. I done tried him. Everybody, let me hear you clap your hands. Come on, clap your hands. Let's give God some praise. Let's give God some praise. When I tell you, God is God.
In loving memory of Keith Wonderboy Johnson, 1972 to 2022. Rest in peace.